It's just great to welcome you here this morning here in the building, and also to welcome everyone on live stream. We're so glad that you're joining us today to worship our Lord, who is worthy of all honor and glory and praise. We're going to praise the Lord, keep praising Him right throughout this morning. The children can make their way out to DBK a little bit earlier. I'm just going to preach right off the back now, so the children may make their way out to DBK if they haven't already done it. Looks like they have already done it. So the parents were well and truly advised what was going to be happening this morning. You know, it is an exciting day to be in God's house, and maybe someone could kindly bring me the pulpit if that's okay. But we've got some special things happening today, and one of those things is that we're going to be celebrating. Thank you so much. That's brilliant. We're going to be celebrating the graduation of Rock Vessel. He's graduating the transformation program. And a little bit later in the service, we're going to be able to do that. But we're also going to be joining us. We're going to be watching online is Rock's parents, Alish and Millie, from the beautiful country of Slovenia. We welcome you to Dream Builders Church today, Alish and Millie. What a wonderful day to be celebrating what God has done in your son. And we're just so happy to be able to welcome you into our church community today to celebrate that. And everyone else online, thank you for being a part of our service this morning. Okay, well, let's get straight into the Word. We're going to go to the passage of Scripture we've been focusing on as a church in the last few weeks. Psalm 96 and verses 1 to 4. I'm reading from the English Standard Version for these particular verses. It says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." You know, the words that we've been focusing on as a church from that passage, three words: declare His glory. I know it says, it uses other words in other translations, but I love the way the English Standard Version puts that. Declare His glory. Our God is an amazing God and absolutely worthy of all honor and glory and praise. And you know, His heart and His desire is that His glory would fill the whole earth. And you know, we want to be a part of His plan, a part of His purpose in declaring His glory in the earth. And we're going to be focusing today on these words in verse 3. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. His marvelous works among all the peoples. You know, in what we've just been singing, it's been talking about how wonderfully and marvelously we've been made by our God. And Psalm 139 is just a beautiful psalm that helps us to understand that God has made us. We are a part of His creation, and we need to be those who are declaring the wonders of God in the earth so that people can come to know who He is. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 8 verses 1 to 4. Says, "O Lord, our Lord, Your majestic name fills all the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of Your strength, silencing Your enemies and all who oppose You. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are we, or what are mere mortals, that you should think about them? Human beings, that you should care about them. You know, the psalmist was declaring the wonders of God, declaring his glory in saying, I just look out in the night sky and I can't help but see the awesomeness of the God who spoke, and there it was. How awesome is God? And then he goes on and says, and to think that awesome God, that amazing, all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God would take the time to be interested in me, to be interested in Peter, to be interested, you know, in Steph, that he would take the time. I mean, here he is. You sit back and look at this amazing universe. You know, I think I read somewhere that if we were to try and travel across our galaxy, and we're traveling at, you know, at the speed of light, it's going to take us 200,000 years to get from one end to the other. It's unbelievable how awesome creation is. And he's interested in us. What an amazing God. All powerful, but ever present. Present with us right now. You know, God's creation is indeed part of his marvelous works. And, you know, it's not just what we can see in the world, but it's what we can't see in the universe. And, you know, I mean, of course, I don't know whether some of you have been following it, but, you know, just the NASA has put this little robot with cameras and that on Mars at the moment, and looking at those pictures, and I'm thinking there's just another wonder, just another planet, and we can actually get there and all of this kind of stuff, you know. But there's so much of what, you know, we're starting to describe part of it, but there's so much more that is we can't describe because we can't see it, and yet God's created it. And you know, if you're wanting to hear someone try to describe the indescribable as far as the universe is concerned, then can I encourage you to just go onto YouTube and search for Louis Giglio, search for "Our God is indescribable," search those words, "Our God is indescribable," or whatever. And Louis Giglio has just got a wonderful gift of being able to talk about the amazing universe and God's creation, and it's just such a blessing. This is a quote from Louis Giglio. He says, "If God is indescribable, where does that leave us? It leaves us walking more humbly than we've ever walked before, bowed at the thought of such a mighty and mysterious God. It leaves us safe in the knowledge that his ultimate control, that the one who spoke these awe-inspiring, inconceivable wonders into being will never lose the plot or drop the ball." Thank you, God. And it leaves us pondering just how much he, the creative God of hidden wonders, has in store for those who've chosen to love and follow him. Creation itself declares his marvelous works among the people. Psalm 9 verses 1 and 2 says, "I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all the marvelous things you have done. I will be filled with joy because of you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High." And so the psalmist has moved in Psalm 8 to talking about the starry skies and them, how God declares his amazing wonders through creation. But then Psalm 9 is basically saying, and God's working wonders in my life now, here and now. And we need to be declaring those things. You know, creation itself speaks of the wonder of our God, but we too, part of his creation, need to be declaring his glory, declaring his marvelous works among all peoples. The Lord's done so much for us. And it starts with creating us on purpose. As I said, Psalm 139. Let me read these verses to you. Verses 13 to 16. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How will I know it? How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. The Lord has done so much for us. And as I said, it starts with creating us on purpose, with a purpose. He saved us. We are born again. We've been adopted into the family of God. It's amazing what the Lord has done for us. There are so many other things that we could talk about. There are many of us in this room that could say he is the God that heals us. We've experienced physical healing. Many of us have experienced emotional healing. You know, we can testify to that fact that he's done so much for us. You know, he's the God that provides for us. We should be declaring the marvelous works of our Lord. He provides for us. You know, my mum and dad are watching this live stream as well. And as many of you know, in the 60s, they were missionaries in Papua New Guinea. And in the 60s, Papua New Guinea was more primitive than it still is today. And so that they were there not having a lot of money to live on as missionaries, yet they trusted God to provide for them. And I've told this story before, and only because I've heard my dad tell this story many, many times, that, you know, they just used to say, Lord, I believe that you will supply all our needs according to your riches in glory. And we're not sure where the next meal might even come from. And they said they'd buy a box of Weet-Bix and you know, with four children, the first rose disappears really fast. But, you know, they would get to a point where it would be halfway through the box and they'd think, boy, it must be nearly finished now. And they'd go back in and it was still sitting at the same kind of level. It was like, after breakfast, the Lord would just refill it. Don't know how or why. I don't know why he wouldn't do that with Tim Tams, but we didn't have them back then. But anyway, it's a story that has never left me because I didn't even acknowledge or know that as a young child growing up in that environment. And yet the stories of God's provision still stay with me. And I've experienced those stories, and I'm sure many of you can testify, even in the last 12 months, you know, how God has provided, even in a very uncertain kind of time. He provides for us. He protects us. Here's another Papua New Guinea story for you. I'm just going back to my childhood, okay? I just turned 60. You got to bear with me. I'm trying to still stay young, so I'm just going back to the older stories. But, you know, I guess I was about 6 years of age and you know, we had people that would cut firewood for us, and what would happen was that a tree would be chopped down, and then that would be all split up and that, but you know, it would be in big pieces that could be sort of carried in, but for a six-year-old, a big piece of that timber is pretty heavy, and they used to just stack it all up, and then one of those that were helping us out would get that timber and put it down on, you know, I don't even know what you'd call it, but anyway, they built something that they put it on, then they get a saw to to cut it. Okay, I'm not an expert in all those areas. But anyway, I was there with the guy, just a little kid, and I'm on one end of the saw with the guy, right? And so it's not as bad as you think in terms of I didn't cut myself with the saw. But behind me was all these big logs that were all held up. And somebody moved one of them, and it started a little domino effect where they started to move, and they ended up landing on me. And honestly, apparently my brother was running around saying, "Dale's dead, Dale's dead, Dale's dead." And you know, obviously my parents were concerned, and somehow they dug it all off me, and here I am, I'm still here. I didn't have any broken bones or anything like that. You know, God protects us. If He's got a plan and a purpose, and He knows the beginning from the end, we can trust Him, hey? We can trust Him. You know, our God empowers us. He strengthens us. He gives us purpose and direction. You know, I also like the fact that not only should we testify of the goodness of God and what He's done in our life, but our actions should reveal God to people. You know, the heavens declare His glory. We need to be declaring His glory through testimony. But we should also be declaring His glory by revealing who He is to people. So this is what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give you honor. They will give honor to God when He judges the world. They'll give honor to God when He judges the world. We want people to give honor to God. And for that to happen, we've got a responsibility to live properly among our unbelieving neighbors. I believe that is to serve. That is to see needs and step in and help. Some of you have heard me tell this story before, but I'm inspired by it. I mean, obviously, as a missionary kid, I've grown up. My whole life is I'm just so interested in world mission. And so I read lots of stories about it. And there's a story of a young, I'm pretty sure it was a YWAM missionary in South America who was out there and just hanging around one of the markets at the time. And a young girl was there and she had a big basket of apples she must have picked from their family's, you know, orchard or whatever. And she was at the market to sell her apples. And this missionary was there as well. And then somebody just came running through the market and literally ran across and banged into her basket of apples and they just rolled onto the dusty ground. And all this time, this young girl had them there ready to sell and now they were all in the dust. And she was there just picking up one and putting it back in, picking up another one, and then getting her little dress and then trying to fix the apples so she could sell them. And this missionary saw it, and he went and sat in the dust with her. And he picked up an apple, got his T-shirt, started to wipe it and put it in the basket, picked up another one. You know, it's a Catholic kind of culture there. So there's an awareness of God and of Jesus. And this girl turns to the young YWAM missionary and says this, "Excuse me, sir, are you Jesus?" It's because he sat in the dirt with her. It's because he saw her need and saw her pain. And he sat down and did something about it. You see, this is how we declare the glory of God. This is how people see Jesus. Our lives have to bear witness to Christ. Our lives need to testify of the goodness of God. And we're going to hear some stories about that later with respect to Rock. But Rock, why don't you come and stand here with me right now? Karen, I just need your microphone, if you don't mind, down there. because Rock and I are going to have a conversation, which is great. Is it on already? Thank you very much. Roger will be glad that we left it on. This is a very special day, Rock. And, you know, I know you've finished the Transformations program for a while now, but this was like the first opportunity, the whole COVID thing and everything, but this opportunity today to be able to publicly celebrate your graduation. And I just think that's amazing. You know, so some people certainly know you and know your story. There are other people, and maybe there's some people online that don't know, but you had a drug addiction.
Yeah.
And so put the mic up towards your hand and just tell us, you know, what that addiction was.
Yeah, it was a nice addiction. It was going on for like probably 9 years till I, you know, finally hit the rock bottom. And, you know, there was probably a few things that follow in probably like 3 months' time. You know, I had a almost, you know, deadly collision on a Taylor's Road, which I just managed to, you know, turn away from. So, you know, my friend died, I think, just before that. And, yeah, I know. And, you know, I've seen people that, you know, what they're going through. And I just, you know, last time I was at the dealer's place, I just said, that's it.
Your friend who passed away was an ICE addict
also?
Oh,
yeah. He was there. He was like, he was in my place, you know, 3 days before he died. And he said to my wife, Rocky, you need to stop doing what you're doing. And, you know, yeah, it's just sad because it was so real to her as well. And, she, you know, I said, that's it. And after that, so I look at my, you know, Tyson, I look at Tyson, and when I came back home from that drug dealer, and I said, no, that's it. So, you know, later on, I took probably 2 weeks to recover, I reckon, you know, just sleep and eat, trying to get, you know, better. So, and I went to this milk bar, and there was Lee, and Jimmy, he knows him, and he gave me a card and said, oh, you know, we're going to send you to Rima. And I said, bro, no, that's too far. I don't want to go there, man. I think, you know. And they said, I got one in Harper's Crossing. You might be interested in it, but it's long term. You know, you have to commit. And I said, yeah, I'm going to commit, man. No worries.
So this is Jimmy and
Neda. Yeah.
Neda.
Yeah.
And you guys are the ones that really reached out to Rock and put him on the path toward a rehabilitation program. So thank you, guys. We all honor them.
Thank you.
For playing a part in Rock coming to a place of, you know, I mean, I believe the Holy Spirit was working too, Rock, when you looked at Tyson, your son, and you said, I can't live this way anymore.
Yeah, that's it.
I think that's fantastic. But that he brought you across the paths of the right people to point you in the right direction.
That's right.
Many of us would not even know what your rock bottom could have felt like, but I imagine it felt like there was no future.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, it's other stuff that will happen before that. You know, there's a lot of stuff happened. You know, I just mentioned my daughter's death and, you know, other stuff that I was going through. You know, it's just, I couldn't find, everything was just not right. I was trying to do anything I was trying to do. Everything was just wrong. I couldn't put a screw in the doors. I couldn't cook myself a meal, nothing. I was just, you know, I was just gone. Like, and, you know, it was really hard, you know, for me getting the visa, you know, especially coming here to Australia was really hard for me. And, you know, obviously my country, I didn't have pretty good life. You know, I was abused as a kid, you know, and, you know, always scared running from, you know, my dad. And, it's been just, everything was just horrible till I come to that place. And mm-hmm. since that day, I'm like, nothing really went wrong for me anymore. Mm. Nothing at all. You know, everything just came to pieces, you know, and I start getting my, you know, mentally getting better, my mind gone just really good, and I could start focus again, and you know, people start really give me a lot of support and a meaning of life, and I just ignited the fire in me, you know, come back and you know, just finish what I have to finish. So yeah.
So Rock, obviously you came to the Transformations Program.
Yeah.
You started, and you remained in the program all the way through.
That's right. Yeah.
To the end.
Yeah.
Now that's no disrespect to anyone that exits and comes back. We love you, you guys. We understand how difficult it is to stay the course. Rock's a very, in a sense, an exception, that he entered the program and stayed in the program all the way through. That takes a lot of, I would say, it takes a lot of courage, because I would imagine you wanted to run away just as much as any other addict that is trying, with the help of the program, to recover.
That's right, yeah. And I think, you know, I knew from the start coming here that I'm gonna finish the program, and I just wanna get the best that I can be. You know, I can't be perfect, but it just gave me so much growth and everything. I can use all tools still now to this day, and it's just so great. You know, everyone who's struggling addiction should come to us or reach to us. You know, and started, you know, having just a shot at new life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm so grateful that I'm honored to be, you know, part of that program for 20 months. And yeah, I'm just so grateful for everyone here that it came to my graduation. And, you know, just thank you all. So really, yeah.
So, are there any specific people? You did say to me earlier, yeah, I wrote some things down.
Yeah.
Did you? I don't want you to miss out on
saying
what you wanted to say, Rock. You probably said most of it.
Yeah.
But if there's someone you would like to thank or whatever, please
right.
do that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Dale. I would like to thank everyone who came to see my graduation. I would not like to talk about my past here, as we all know why people like myself eventually land in places like rehabs. I would like to thank everyone, but especially would love to thank next few people that were very important factor and challenging me through all the stages of the program. First, I want to thank God. Thank God that we can have this date of celebrating in the church with no coronavirus cases. Next, thank you, Deborah Thompson, my ongoing mentor and director of Dream Builders Transformations, Roger Visterini, director of Dream Builders Transformations, Matt Naski, previous director of Dream Builders Transformations, Michael Barrett, the CEO of TPA Ministries Australia, Peter Cullen, for everything he has done for me and family and others, unbelievable personality and a giver to the community, Diane Burnell and the Burnell family for all the support to the family when I was away, Cameron Mahoney, Stage 2 facilitator, thank you, Cam, Von Sobolev, I can call you friend for life, Richard Parker, Adichie Alberto, thank you for all the awarenesses. Jimmy and Neda Mangorius, Stephen Gellert and Valerie, Sam Decorado for obviously rope contract, Matthew Lennon, Steph Mersch, Stephen Dunnett, thank you Steve, Dave Gribben, Jacob Wright. I want to thank as well all the residents that they do program with me. Last but not least, I want to thank my family for supporting me for the last 3 years. And my parents and brothers overseas. Thank you. This program gave me life and ignited the fire within me. I came here broken with just $120 in my pockets to start with the program. My program was pretty complicated. Been multiple times on restrictions and staged emotions through all my program. I was attending children's courts and criminal matters every month for a few months in a row. Besides having some tensions, I have this mentality that nothing will stop me to do the finish the program. Thinking back now, I think that was a little bit crazy. Roger one day said to me, I'm driven with wrong motives, which I agree now. So here I am, the guy with the most issued awarenesses in the history of this campus. So if I could finish the program, everyone can do it. Just remember. Just remember, everything is possible if you put your mind into it. I'm really honored that I'm still helping within the program, like doing a relief house supervision role. The boys are very supporting and want to see, I want to see everyone achieve the same thing that I achieved. It's not an easy program, but nothing in life comes easy. I love seeing people turning their life around. We are all blessed that we have this great ministry. I have seen lots of miracles and healing in this program. And always when I come back, I feel like home. Thank you again, and I love you all.
So good, so good. I'm right now going to ask Roger and Deborah if they'd come up to the platform with me right now. We're just going to stay on the platform for a bit, and then we're going to head down toward the table because we've got some presentations to make. But right now, I want to have this microphone. Deborah, I just wanted to give you the opportunity to comment, because Rock just mentioned that, you know, he looked to you as a mentor, someone that was going to help him planning out the future, what it looked like. Just as that person, share with us about Rock, maybe not all the stories.
So one of the things that we do in all of our programs is that we get someone to walk beside the people in the program, and not only mentor them but disciple them. And I was really blessed that Rock chose me to be that person for him. And I remember my first encounter with Rock in his basketball gear, in a singlet, jumping up along the foyer here, jumped up and put his hands up on one of the overhangs and left dirty fingerprints there. So my first words to Rock were, that needs to stop. And, you know, like the man that we see before us today has come a long way. What I really love about Rock is he is so open to learning, and he is so teachable. And Rock and I are continuing our mentoring discipleship relationship, because Rock wants to continue to grow and wants to continue to be blessed by God and to live the purpose-filled life that God has for him. Yes. And I just feel so blessed that I get to do that walk really closely with Rock. But all of you guys get to sow into Rock's life as well. So we are very blessed as a church that we get to build lives and transform communities. Amen. Right here.
Amen. So good. Now, Roger, can you just... We're about to give a certificate, and there's another little... Like, it looks like a trophy. Do you want to explain that to us?
Oh, I will. Thank you. I was talking to Steve about what's the eagle mean. So it's an eagle. Every graduate of the Transformations program gets an eagle. And we knew there was scripture about it, and it's a big bird and all that. But then I thought, let's ask Mike Barrett. Pastor Mike sends his love and congratulations to you, along with all of those at TPA. Rocky, they're proud of you. And Mike sent some words to me that I'd just like to read out to you. The eagle signifies the apex predator of the bird world. So, top of the tree. It's you, bro. It's the only bird that flies into a storm. Yeah? It's a storm? It was hard work, wasn't it? It's the only bird that flies into a storm rather than away from the storm, as it uses the storm to go higher. Yep. So, life doesn't always go the way you want, but you can use the storm to go higher. The eagle is represented in scripture many times and depicts a facet of the nature of God. The eagle does not flap its wings madly to fly, it soars on the wind. Rocky, that's where you are now, you're soaring on the wind. We encourage, this is Pastor Mike, we encourage our residents that they are to soar like an eagle now, for that is what they are, and no longer hang on the ground with the turkeys. And then Pastor Mike added the scripture at the end from Isaiah 40 verse 31, for those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's what the eagle's for, Rocky.
Awesome. So, Roger, would you, why don't we all just move down here? Again, I apologise for the lighting for the camera people. But what we have here is a certificate which is presented to you, my friend, Rock, as well as of course, the eagle. And we have a congratulations cake, which after we've prayed for Rock, Rock's going to cut that cake and it'll be prepared COVID friendly. COVID safe is the word, COVID safe. We're not friends of COVID. And then people can share afterwards. But right now I would like everyone to stand. And I also would like to invite Steve Aditya. And also Sam, where's Sam? Sam, you guys come and join us out here. These guys are a big part of our program in terms of leading it. Aditya is our residential leader. Both Steve and Sam work in the program. Steve, particularly with the residential program, which is the Transformations Program as part of the Center for Change ministry. And why don't we right now give all these guys a hand, because they are doing a great work. And what I'd like now is for all of us, as we prayed before for Esther, we're just going to pray for Rock right now. And so congratulations again on your graduation, Rock. The Lord is well pleased with you. And two Sundays ago, I mentioned toward the end of my message some verses from Psalm 40. I think it's verse 5 and 6. I think they're very significant because it talks about the miry clay, the place that we all find ourselves in. And, you know, you found yourself in a pretty dark place. But the Lord lifts us out of that and He places our feet on a solid rock. That's Jesus. And you represent Jesus, Rock. And many people are going to find that security, strength, as they relate to you, because Christ lives in you. You're not there in that mud, as it says by the psalmist, anymore. You're now with your feet on a good, solid, firm foundation. You're going to help lift people onto that exact place. Amen. Amen. Lord, I just thank you so much for this day. What a great day to celebrate the wonderful ministry of the Transformations Program, ministry of Center for Change here in Dream Builders. Lord, we are just so thankful for stories like Rock's story. We're so thankful, Lord God, that you would bring him from where he was to where he is right now. Lord, from someone who felt lost to a person who has been found and adopted into the family of the Lord. We are so thankful for that. And Lord, we commit his future to you. I pray, Lord God, that nothing will rob the destiny that is on his life. That Lord, as you have put his feet back on the path that you have for him, nothing is going to rob that blessing away. In Jesus' name we pray. I pray, Lord God, for these wonderful men and Deborah who stand around him right now, Lord God, who bring strength, not just to Rock, but to so many wonderful men who are on a journey of connecting with God and placing their feet on a solid rock. Lord, thank you for the ladies who are part of our online Center for Change program. God, may their feet fall on a solid rock in Jesus' name. May they be strengthened and built up. May we graduate many of them in the years to come, in the days to come, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Let's give Rock a huge hand.